Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. Luke, you're joining me in it of whoever will meet me within this studio.
Yes, anyone that just walks in, you're like, you'll do.
Yeah, you sit down. We're talking about video games. We're playing video games.
Always happy to be intimate with you, Elliot.
Oh, that's good. Well, on today's show, we want to talk about digital game storefronts because it seems like a bit of a hectic little niche market at the moment with a couple of new entries into the digital video game kind of space, selling these products as a marketplace. I'm talking specifically about Epic Game Store, which launched about a week ago.
Yeah.
And just this morning, as of recording, so probably a week ago if you're listening to this, the Discord, which is a chat service for PC users, they're opening up their own digital marketplace to sell video games as well, surprisingly actually undercutting the Epic Game Store themselves.
Right.
So this is so interesting because Epic came out, and Epic are massive. These guys made Fortnite, the Unreal Engine. They're behemoths in the gaming space right now.
Huge deal, for sure.
And I think they're riding on Fortnite's success and saying, you know, we can solidify ourselves within the gaming market for years and years and years to come. And they're deciding to do that by launching the Epic Game Store, which will sell a whole bunch of different video games, not just their own video games. You know, some places like Battle.net or Bethesda.net or whatnot, they'll just sell their own games. But this is looking to sell as many PC games as they possibly can. And their unique selling point is that they're doing an 88-12 split. As far as developers make 88% of the money from every sale, and Epic makes 12%.
Now, with Steam, it's like 30%, right?
Oh, it is. This is like across the board. So whether it's Steam, whether it's PlayStation, whether it's Nintendo, whether it's Xbox, whether it's EB Games down the road, the general rule of thumb is 30% to 70%, which obviously is a much bigger difference within the kind of markup.
Sure.
So the developers are making much less money at those stores. And historically, that's just been how things have gone. Like, it feels so accepted and so, like, normal that I think this kind of shake-up and somebody challenging that and saying, you know what? These storefronts are taking too much money.
It's definitely a good thing. I mean, when you think about PC gaming, Steam has been synonymous with PC gaming for such a long time, to the point where when a game's coming out on PC, people don't even say it's coming to Windows. They say it's coming to Steam. Like, it's literally, like, associated as the only kind of PC place to play PC games.
I actually shudder when I hear the term it's coming to Windows, because that means it's coming to, like, the Windows Store, like, Microsoft Store, and that's just terrible.
Yeah.
Like, if it's coming to Steam, happy. If it's coming to Windows, I'm like, oh, what does that mean? Like, quick, need clarification.
I mean, Steam have done such a good job not just building the store itself and having their, you know, Steam sales, which have become quite iconic by themselves.
Yep.
But also the fact they've integrated so much community and, I guess, user experience within Steam as well. You know, you can have your friends list on Steam and you can play games with them through Steam as well. You can launch into it together. So,
look, Steam has had a massive head start on the competition as far as implementing features and stuff. They have their refund policy, which is amazing, but it took them a while to get there. They have the marketplace, the kind of the workshop, which is like the whole mod support thing. Like, they've got a lot of different things in the works for Steam, and that's why consumers, I think, really like Steam. Having said that, we are talking about all these new competitors entering this space. And while we're on the topic of Epic, I should say that they're also, like, the Epic Game Store seems to be really cracking down on exclusives. So we've just seen Ashen, a game that a lot of the people from the Checkpoint team were super excited about, actually launch exclusively to the Epic Game Store and then Xbox.
Which means if you want to play it on PC, you can't get that through Steam, which most people would try and do. You have to download the Epic Game Store and buy it through that. That's your only way to play Ashen.
And this isn't the only game that's going to do it. There's a whole bunch of other games coming out soon or coming out soon into the future.
Yeah.
I think it's Super Meat Boy Forever or something like that. Anyway,
I think Hades is really popular as well. Is that only on the Epic Store at the moment as well?
Oh, I don't know
I'm
about that
sure.
one. Okay.
Yeah,
you could be right.
So, I mean, they're trying to, I guess, have some big titles locked in as exclusives on their storefront to, I guess, inspire people to download it. Because at the moment, if you have nothing that's a point of difference, it is going to be really hard to pull people away from Steam because it's what we know. We're used to it by now. We've got this friends list and this giant library. If I don't have to download a different store to download something, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to do it through the one that I know and that I love.
Absolutely. And I guess that's part of today's discussion. We want to know, is all of these different storefronts, is that great? Is that good because it's competition and therefore, like, without monopolies, we have better pricing? And, like these competitions drive pro-consumer choices. Or is it actually anti-consumer? Because as a PC player, you don't want to have 15 different storefronts for all these different games.
No.
So I guess that's part of the conversation. But before we move on from Epic Games Store, I will say they are doing giveaways at the moment. Subnautica is currently free for any PC players who wants to download it.
Great game.
If you are listening to this podcast as it releases, it's still free. Absolutely jump on that because it's one of my favorite games from this year. It's phenomenal and it's worth checking out. And I think that's so clever that they're doing these giveaways because all of a sudden people have a reason to download and get involved.
Yeah.
Because that's step one, right? You need to convince people to download your client, to download your launcher, and that's enough of a barrier for itself.
Yeah, it seems like a simple thing, you know, like putting an app on your phone, pretty much. It's the equivalent of that on PC. But it is, you know, when you have a gaming PC and you care about what's on your actual rig, you don't want to have like 10 different store apps on your desktop or 10 different ways of accessing your content. You want to try and have it as centralized as possible.
It's funny you mention that because I do have about 10 to 12 game stores on my PC.
I bet you do.
And they're just lined up like on my desktop in like a nice little cluster. And it's frustrating, but here's what I've got. Just to like put it out there,
Tell me your list.
Steam. I've got the Epic Game Store now. I've got Uplay, which is Ubisoft's kind of home party. Like, that's where you get all the Ubisoft games. Same with EA's Origin. That's there. You've got GOG Connect. You've got the Humble Store. You've got the Twitch Store, which is now kind of failing and is going to shut down, if not already.
Right.
The newly announced Discord Store, as well as Battle.net and the Bethesda launcher.
The Bethesda launcher.
Which is
crazy.
They
put a lot of thought in that name, didn't they?
It almost feels like every single publisher has to have their own now, or anybody who's affiliated with PC gaming has to have their own store now. And I get it. Like, you want that cut of the kind of the money that's coming in. If they buy it off your store, you're getting all the money for it.
For me, it gets hard to keep track of where to get certain games. You know, like, I'll try and find something on the Steam store and go, oh, it's not there. Where is it? Oh, it's on this other store instead. And I think for me, it's most annoying when it's publishers doing it, like EA or Bethesda or that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I hate that they have their own thing. So you have to kind of go to their publisher store, which isn't always the best, but it's just because it's the only option that you've got to play that game. You have to do it.
I think that's the problem, right? That's when it becomes anti-consumer, when it's like, oh, we know our store's not very good. We know it's not as good as the alternatives. Maybe we've got terrible customer support, or maybe we've got a really bad refund policy, or just super slow download speeds or something like that, or a clunky interface. Like, there are so many things that can go wrong with these storefronts. Yet, if this is the only place I can play and buy Overwatch, then I'm going to use your launcher anyway,
of course,
right?
You have that
choice. So all of a sudden, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how bad you are, as long as you have these exclusives that draw people there. And so all of a sudden, the conversation changes. It's no longer about, oh, competition drives pro-consumer kind of features and whatnot. Actually, there isn't much competition because everyone's just taking their own tiny slice of the market and they're not competing against each other. They're just forcing the consumer to jump back and forth between these different launches. And all of a sudden you're stuck in the position like myself where you're like, I want to play this game. Hang on a second. Where did I buy that? Where is it available? Let me go through my multiple libraries until I find it. Oh, there it is. Now I can't be bothered anymore.
And I think, you know, you're right. That's a negative part of it. And what you hope is going to happen is you're going to have game stores like Steam and, you know, is it GOG? GOG.
Yeah,
GOG. You know, GOG. You know, stores like that and also the Humble Store where they don't just have games from one creator or one publisher. They have games from a variety of creators and a variety of publishers and a variety of developers. And they're the ones that you want to kind of support because if one company like Steam has this big monopoly on online gaming stores and digital storefronts, then they're not going to make any changes. They're not going to give the developers more of a cut because they're making money as they are. Why would they make changes at all? But if we can say, hey, Epic Games are doing a better split and they've got some freebies and stuff like that, which is really cool, some exclusives, and I know that the money is going to go more into the developer's pocket, which long-term is going to help me as a consumer and as a gamer, because that means that developer then has more funds to make better games in the future. That's hugely important. So I want these other storefronts to succeed, but then I do hate the specific ones like the EA and the publisher ones. You know, I want them all to be more diverse than that. I don't want it to be just pigeonholed to one thing.
And I think I fit in the same category as you. However, I'd go even a little bit further and say that when there's a new kind of store entering into the marketplace saying, we're selling everything, I want them to distinguish themselves in a way that's more impressive than exclusives. I think exclusives is one of the most anti-consumer things possible because it means you have to own and operate multiple different services just to get the product you want.
That's something we've talked about a lot with the console space in terms exactly of they have the exclusives same, right? on Microsoft or PlayStation or whatever.
Exactly, and this conversation doesn't have to be sit with just PC only, right? Like Nintendo and obviously PlayStation and Xbox, they have their own, you know, virtual marketplaces. And in a sense, those marketplaces are competing with each other because if you have one that's really dodgy and really poorly executed and annoying to use, you might be more likely to use the competition's hardware just because the software is better.
Yeah.
So it is really interesting in that sense that here are these consoles, and they don't have the same competition as PC because PC has about 15 different launches just for that platform.
And I guess the big difference there as well is with a console, you're actually trying to sell your console, which is a big investment in and of itself. Whilst with PC, all we're trying to sell is like a free download of an app. You know, so it is a little bit different. We're not selling an Xbox to play this game. It's like, no, you just need to click another button and download a new store, and you can technically have all the games you want on the one platform.
Yeah.
It's just a few extra clicks. But even that is time-consuming and annoying enough for people, they won't do it.
Exactly. And should we talk about the Discord store for a second? Because it was just announced this morning, as of recording, where the Discord store, what it's going to do is it's actually offering a better revenue split than what Epic Game Store was offering. So this was Epic's unique selling point. They're like, we're going to be so pro-developer, unlike anything else before. It's unprecedented was the word they kept using. And all of a sudden, here's Discord marching on up saying, you know what? It's not unprecedented. We're going to do it as well, and we're going to do it better than you. So they're offering a 90-10 split,
right?
Which means the developers are just laughing right now. They're loving life. If they can have all these new storefronts operating and offering them so much more money than Steam or anything in the past were offering, that's awesome. And I think the other big pro for Discord is that as a PC gamer, I can guarantee 90% of PC gamers already have Discord. Discord is an amazing voice chat service, and it's like it's already sitting on my computer desktop. So for them to start selling more games, it's not another application taking up more room. It's just the same application I'm already using.
Yeah, it's just piggybacking onto one that you're already taking part in all the time anyway.
Exactly. So it's not like this moment of, oh, I need to download yet another thing to like clutter my desktop. No, because this thing's already there. So it makes sense for me to say, you know what, Discord, I'm fine with you selling games because here is an application I use daily. Here is something I open up constantly. And I kind of want to have these deals kind of flash up in my face so I'm aware of what is on special at any given time and see where I can purchase things.
Yeah, and what it does as well is if it has games that are on different libraries, if it's on Steam and Discord and stuff like that as well, you know, you are going to want to go on the Discord store knowing that the money goes to the right place. It's actually really clever PR, like, because it is really nice to say, oh, we're doing a 90-10 split, because it is really nice, it's great, but that taps into CSR, corporate social responsibility, and people go, ah, you're doing this great thing for the industry, I want to support you. So it's really clever as a PR thing to kind of put yourself out there as this online digital storefront that's better for developers and therefore better for the industry. Now there is such a big focus on indie developers and indie games.
I was going to say, I think this is an industry trend. I think back 10 years ago, you might have said, oh, we're going to give more money to the developers, and people would have gone, oh, I don't care. Like, I just want my games.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, there's this stronger focus because of things like indie games. And we've seen the whole kind of conversation about, like, crunch culture and stuff, and consumers hate it. They're like, no, like, let's make sure the developers are getting treated right. Let's make sure that there is, like, this industry is powerful in the future, not just right now because this is what I want this game right now, but in the future, let's make it sustainable and safe. And I think piggybacking off that kind of change of mentality is really smart by these developers. By these digital storefronts.
Yeah.
Having said that, just because you have a good idea and just because you're already kind of in that space doesn't mean you're going to be successful. And I think that's the risk here, right? Like, we're talking about this as a very positive angle, but I remember when Twitch started opening its own store, And there was some really dodgy practices happening there and stuff that made me feel a bit uncomfortable because what they were doing is they were trying to get the streamers to get a cut of the revenue by promoting the games. But obviously that just meant developers were paying streamers for streamers to play their games so that streamers could then get paid by the consumer. And all of a sudden, it's not this equal playing field. You're not watching the games that you should be watching. You're watching the games who have the most money to pay for it. And that failed. The Twitch storefront failed. Like, they're not even focusing on that anymore. It's totally removed from their kind of line of sight because it wasn't very successful at all for Twitch. And they were taking a much bigger cut than these guys. So if it wasn't successful for this other giant player in the PC gaming space, I'm scared by how well Epic and Discord are even going to do. Maybe in a couple of months from now or a year from now, we're going to get the announcement that no, we're actually shutting down. So
I think obviously it depends on a lot of real world factors that we're probably not privy to. Like, I mean, we don't know how much money they've got in the bank to invest in something like this.
Oh, we know Epic's got a lot.
We know Epic. Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, you know, Fortnite is still the biggest game ever. Like, it's ridiculous how huge this game is and the money they're making and the collaborations they're doing with Marvel and stuff, like Disney, like, it's insanity.
It's insane.
So, I mean, they have a lot of spare cash right now to kind of do what they want. And so I guess they can have a bit spare to throw at this and go, let's give it a go. Let's at least try it. I mean, if it fails, it fails. We've still got Fortnite. You know, I don't know how much money Discord has in the bank necessarily, but I mean, I think that they're probably tackling it the right way so far. They're doing the right thing. They're definitely, the message behind what they're doing is really positive and really strong. And I want to support them for that reason. I'm more inclined to download their apps over other apps knowing that as well. Because it's not just about me getting discounts anymore. It's about the industry as a whole and wanting to support that as a gamer. But you're right. It is still a business. At the end of the day, they've got to make money off this as well. You know, if it is 90-10 in favor of the developer, are they getting enough to keep their stores actually running and keep them smoothly operating and getting more content on those storefronts?
That's the question you got to ask, right? Because it is expensive to be a digital storefront, like hosting service, customer support, or whether it's just upkeep of the website.
It's not just a WordPress blog, you know? Yeah. Like, it's this huge entity.
Like, Steam, like, Valve might have thousands of employees, but I guarantee the majority of them are just doing upkeep for Steam because that is their biggest kind of platform. So it's not an easy thing, and I think what
the
we can't...
The bigger you get, the more expensive it is to run as well.
Yeah, that's very true. So, like, it's very easy for Discord maybe to enter this game with such a, you know, a generous kind of offering to developers, but maybe it's down the line if they get big enough. Like, that's a very hard thing for them to continue to offer.
Yeah.
And I think the last thing I want to point out before we stop is that what is often forgotten in this conversation is actually how good these storefronts are as an individual entity. I think Steam has had a leg up on the competition for so long that it's going to be so hard to catch them as far as all the features they have, how smooth it works, how, like, gigantic the library of games are that is on that service. Like, that's what you're competing against. And yes, it's very easy for these other platforms to open up and say, oh, we're more pro developer. But part of me is going, yeah, but who's more pro consumer? Because that matters as well. And if Epic's opening their store and they don't have the customer support ready to tackle all these issues that are going to arise, or if they don't have really great refund policies available, or all these other features that gamers are so used to and are now going to miss out on, then all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm glad you're pro-developer, but man, I wish you had have taken more time and thought about me as a consumer as well.
And Steam have, you're right, they've had a long time to learn from their mistakes. They've done things, they've tried bits and pieces, and they've been around for so long now that they do have this kind of slick running machine. And these new stores, they're going to have to go through all these different adjustments. Mm-hmm. They have to learn. There's going to be teething issues, as there is for any new business.
The whole curation process of what games you allow onto your store and what you don't, that is a big task just in and of itself.
It's a branding thing as well. What kind of games are you going to have on your storefront? What are the ones that are going to be your flagship titles? There's so many things that factor into this that I think it's a very daunting task, and I think that they shouldn't go into it lightly. I don't think they are, but I'm sure they don't know what they don't know. And that's going to be where we see how they go in the long term and whether or not Steam still is the king in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, that's the big question. It's going to be an interesting field to look at how it progresses from here on out. Is everybody going to have their own launcher? Or is it all of a sudden going to crumble and it's like, that wasn't sustainable, we fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what I'm wondering. Anyway, Luke, thank you for joining me.
You're so welcome.
This has been Checkpoint Intimates, and make sure you join us next week for another Intimate Gaming Goodness topic. Yeah.